بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, last week we were discussing the rewards of piety, a discourse of Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayh, and in which we had explained the rewards of piety. Just to recap, what is the aim of life? What is the aim of life? Why has Allah Ta'ala created us? And in the verse that we discuss, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, Allah mentioned mort first. Allah mentioned death first. Then Allah mentioned life. So we explain the reason for this, the wisdom behind this. Then the fact that, we discussed the definition of taqwa, and the nafs does not get, or the days, the joy and the uneasiness of the nafs. When the nafs is uneasy, then we discuss that when the nafs does not obtain its food, it becomes restless. Your soul should be pleased when the enemy is restless. Don't you express happiness when your enemy is restless and full of grief? So like that, due to piety, when you have piety, when piety, taqwa comes into the heart, nafs becomes bechain, nafs become restless. So this is a good sign. When taqwa comes, nafs which is your enemy, it becomes restless. And then we discuss the true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also mentioned the different rewards of taqwa. The first reward was Allah Ta'ala makes every task easy for the person. Whatever problem he has, whatever is his difficulty, the moment he inculcates in himself taqwa, this is the promise of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever fears Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make all his tasks easy for him. Then we had mentioned in the discussion about مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, about a person who suffers a miserable, wretched life. That person who has no taqwa, then his life is full of misery. We even discuss the harms of casting evil glances at women, and even the medical harms that were mentioned. Then Hazrat had mentioned the sweetness of iman. When a person does not cast a lustful glance at any woman, then he tastes the sweetness of iman. The second reward of taqwa was the person is released from all calamities. Any difficulty, one is his work becomes easy for him. And the second one we said, that Allah Ta'ala makes an opening for him. In other words, he is released from calamities. And Allah provides for him from unseen sources. That's the third reward. Unseen sources, Allah gives him the rozi. All on account of taqwa. Matters become easy for him. He is released from difficulties. Allah provides for him rozi. So there is ease in all work. He gets unlimited sustenance and an exit from all problems. The fourth reward was, he gets a decisive light, nur, furqan. When a person gets taqwa, then Allah gives him the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Fifth reward, he gets a light of tranquility. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this person the light of sakina, tranquility. He has a peaceful life. Tranquility from the sky. Allah ta'ala sends down the sukoon upon him. And the sixth reward, a life of enjoyment. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. He gets hayatun tayyiba in this life. A life full of enjoyment, a life of happiness and bliss. The seventh reward, he gets respect and honor. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The one who is most honored in the sight of Allah is the person who has the most taqwa. The eighth reward, Allah Ta'ala gives him the crown of wilayat, Allah's friendship. You become muttaqi, immediately you have now become the friend of Allah. Allah says, إِنْ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. It is only those who have taqwa who are the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ninth reward, the person's sins are all wiped out. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرُقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. You have taqwa and all your sins are forgiven. And the tenth reward, we said, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. There is forgiveness in the hereafter. When your sins are wiped out, and Allah Ta'ala forgives you in the hereafter. Then we mentioned there are three acts. As I said, now I will explain to you three important things a person should do to gain this taqwa. Number one, he must have courage. And this is what we explained last week. That come what may, I will not engage and indulge in that sin. First of all, muster up the courage to leave out all sins. A person has to sit, contemplate, reflect, realize, focus, introspect his life. Where am I heading towards? Is my life, of what we explained, the one who has got taqwa, and have I got all those benefits? A peaceful life, a life of happiness, enjoyment, solution from all my problems, exit from all my calamities. Am I getting so much of rosy from unseen sources? Is all this happening to me? Or is my life full of misery, feelings miserable, wretchedness? So if this is the case, then we have to muster up courage. You've got to have the courage to refrain from all sins. Nothing can be done. Nothing can be done without having courage. We have to have himmat. Put up your sleeves and say, now I will never commit the sin again. So that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is ready to forgive the person. Allah is ready to give you the taqwa. Now left to us. Are we going to keep on indulging in that sin? Or are we going to muster up the courage and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the first thing, muster up courage. Second one, asking for the usage of courage. Ask Allah ta'ala to grant you the ability to use the courage He has given you. All of us have the himmat. It's within us. All we're going to do is to use that himmat. So we want to muster up, we muster up the courage. And then second thing is, make dua to Allah. Ask Allah ta'ala to give you the tawfiq, the ability to use that courage. People have the courage, but they do not use it. So we say, oh Allah, grant me the ability to use the courage which you have granted me to keep away from sin, and the ability to remain pious. If one did not have the courage, taqwa would not have been made compulsory. Taqwa is compulsory. Every person has to have piety in him. If it was not compulsory, Allah would not command us to inculcate in ourselves taqwa. It is oppressive to make piety compulsory on a weak person. Allah would never have said that taqwa is compulsory when the person does not have the ability or is not given the ability. This indicates that we have the capability of piety. So understand that it will help us to refrain from sins. Each one of us, we do have the capability to refrain from all sins. So this indicates that we have the capability of piety, and we have the ability to abstain from sin. We do not use this ability. Just as the cow steals some milk from her udders for her calf and sends it up, you can beat her 1,000 of times, but she will not allow that milk to come down to the udders. Similarly, the nafs steals its courage for haram pleasures. The nafs steals the courage for haram pleasures. It does not use all its courage to abstain from sin. It steals some courage in order to fulfill some of its illicit carnal desires. Therefore you must say, oh Allah, grant me the ability to use this courage. One needs courage in order to use the courage. And the third thing, request for du'as. Request the special and accepted servants of Allah to supplicate on your behalf also for courage. So you make du'a yourself. First of all, you make up your mind, you muster up the courage. Second thing, you make du'a to Allah Ta'ala to give you the tawfiq, ability to have the courage and display the courage. And the third thing, some friend of Allah, some pious buzurg, ask him also that because these people's du'as are accepted, so ask him to make dua on your behalf, that Allah must give you the himmat to abstain from sins. And then we explain that very beautiful incident of which Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah mentioned about Nasuh, that disguised himself as a woman and he was working in the palace of the king, and he acted as he was one of the female servants, and he even massaged the females in the palace. But each time he did this, he regretted. He should go and cry, Ya Allah, when am I going to come out of this filthy sin? He was so stuck in this guna, and he was enjoying it. But also, he was feeling the regret and remorse. And the couplet, Mulam Rumi Ramadullah mentioned, Eh Khuda, Ibn Dara Ruswa Makun, O Allah, do not disgrace me. He went to the jungle, he was crying and crying and crying, O Allah, don't disgrace me. Karbadam Man Sirja Man Peda Makun, do not disclose my secret even though I'm such a wretched person. Don't reveal, don't expose me. If you hide my secret today, I will never displease you for the rest of my life. Why? What happened is some of the ladies of the royal family, she lost her necklace, a very precious necklace. And it could not have been stolen except from those people who were around her, those female servants. So they started searching each one. And Nasu's turn was still going to come. And now he's thinking that when my turn will come, and when they will strip me and they will see, and to search for the necklace, they will find that this person was a male, he was not a female. And the king will get so upset, that you dishonored me in this way. And he will throw me into the gallows, and he'll make his lions and his dogs devour me. So Nasuf became worried, and he began singing these couplets, or crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, if you hide my secret today, I will never displease you for the rest of my life. Put us our own selves in the condition where we have wronged Allah Ta'ala so many times. And Allah save us. The moment we come into some type of problem, then we make promises to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you let me out of this one problem, I will never disobey you again. Nasuh was sincere. Nasuh was genuine. He said, I repent from all the sins, whatever I committed. Allah, you are full of greatness. And we have committed abundant sins. You can forgive a person even if he committed a sin in the Haram Sharif even. He made a sin and then he turned to you, Allah. Doesn't mean a person commits sins there. But Allah, you are so forgiving that somebody at the door or around your Kaaba, if he committed a sin and if he turned to you and he repented, then too you are prepared to forgive. I am unworthy. I am only worthy of what I have done. What did he say? I am only worthy of what I have done. An unworthy person commits unworthy acts. If you do not help me, O Allah, I'll be disgraced. That is how close to blackness my actions have brought me. O Allah, you treat me now in the manner that is worthy of your shan and your status. I am unworthy and I will produce unworthy actions. But O Allah, you treat me according to your status. I am only worthy of what I have done, but O Allah, treat me in the manner that is worthy of your status. You are Ghafur Rahim, you are most forgiving. And as he is making this dua, he says, O Allah, the snake of my nafs is stinging me from every hole of mine. The causes of disgrace have enveloped me from all sides. Eventually he falls unconscious. And in this condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him Jannat and Jahannam. And when he wakes up, he finds out that the people of the royal family, they come to him and they ask him for forgiveness. What had happened was, as they were searching the other female workers, one of them had the necklace by her and she was caught. Therefore, they did not have to search the rest of them. So Nasu was spared in this way. So they thought that they had brought dishonor to him, not knowing that he is a male. So they asked all the remaining female servants for forgiveness. When they asked him, the day after, the ladies asked him for forgiveness, thinking that he would flee. They said to him, forgive us, we made a mistake, we thought ill of you, that perhaps you also have stolen, or you are among the people who stole this necklace. So the royal ladies, they said, we have committed a great act of indiscretion. They still regarded him as a woman. He said, I forgive you, but now I no more remain capable of serving you. It is a way to come out. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. It's after witnessing heaven and hell. They did not know what he was talking about. After witnessing heaven and hell, who would commit such a sin? He returned to the forest where he saw the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had actually asked a friend of Allah Ta'ala who was there to ask to make dua for him on his behalf. And then Waliullah had made dua for him. And this is how Allah Ta'ala removed him from the difficulty. Therefore, Hazrat says, therefore you should ask the special servants of Allah Ta'ala to make dua for you. First, muster up some courage and ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you the courage, and then ask some wali of Allah to make dua on your behalf. Requesting courage. How would you request Allah Ta'ala for courage? Ask Allah Ta'ala, when you make dua, Allah, give me the courage to refrain from sins. Ask Allah with the same feeling and emotion as when you are affected by blood cancer or your kidneys fail. Allah Ta'ala save us from it. All those who are suffering from that, Allah give them complete shifa. But this is just by way of example. If a person has got this disease, where his kidneys are failing, or he's got blood cancer, what is he going to do? He's going to cry and beg Allah, oh Allah, you give me complete shifa. He will cry. With how much emotion will you ask Allah Ta'ala for good health if you are in a severe physical pain? If the doctor tells you that your kidneys are going to fail, and the filter plant of your body is failing, all the blood in your body is going to be removed, filtered, reinserted, how will you make dua at that time? How much of humility will you express? So that is a type of dua you need to ask Allah. Oh Allah, I am committing sins. You give me the courage to refrain from sins. How do we make dua? Allah, I make you forgive me and just give me tawfiq. No, you got to beg and cry like a little baby. Or just like that person who's been afflicted by some deadly disease. And now he's going to go through all these processes and he's going to go through some operation or some procedure. How would he cry before that? Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like that, a person has to beg Allah to give him the courage to refrain from sins. Shaitan's deceitful business. Casting evil glances at beautiful faces and at young boys is a filthy and polluted act, because the final stage of this person begins to cast lustful glances, it becomes more and more intense, becomes more and more severe, becomes more serious, and eventually it leads to zina. So Hazrat says that casting evil glances at beautiful faces is a filthy and polluted act, because the final stage of all these acts is a filthy organ. Shaitan's sample, he brings a sample, is the face and the cheeks of pretty people, of pretty women. That's what he'll show us. Like a person who is coming and he's got his samples to show, and the shopkeeper will look at those samples and order those goods. So Shaitan shows us this pretty woman, but he eventually leads you to the organ of urine and feces. As Thani Rahmatullah Ali states, if a businessman deceives you with some goods, you don't ever go back to him. Businessman, you did some deal with him and he deceived you with the goods that he gave you. And he made false promises to you, he lied to you, he cheated you, he deceived you. Will you ever go back to him? You'll never go back to him. But how awful and regretful that you are deceived time and again by Shaitan. How many times he has led you to the filthy organs. He has destroyed the honor of the Sayyids and respect of the Mashayikh. Then too you continue dealing with Shaitan. I explain to people in London and other places in English, the Shaitan first shows you a sample. So as they say in Urdu, they say sample. Shaitan ek sample diklata hai. So he says, he shows you the sample, and then he pulls you. He pulls you towards himself. So first he shows you a sample and then he pulls you. He says, in those places, Western countries, you find the words in the door, pull and push. Pull and push, you find this in the doors. So I explained to the people that first, that Shaitan first shows you a sample of an attractive face. After showing you a sample, he pulls you towards him and then he pushes you from there into Jahannam. Hazrat said like this, he pulls you onto the pull, Urdu pull. First one is pull, English, he pulls you, he draws you towards himself. He pulls you onto the pull, the bridge, and from there he pushes you. So pull and push. From where to where he leads man. After being disgraced continuously, If a person does not have mercy on himself, then the couplet of Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi will be recited to him. He says, Roti hai khalq meri kharabi ko dekar. Roti hai khalq. The creation is crying. Meri kharabi ko dekar. After looking at my pitiful condition, people are crying. Looking at my condition. I committed so many gunas, so much of filthy things I did. People are having mercy upon me. And he says, Rota hu me, ki hai, meri chashme tar nahi. He says, I am crying because I lack a moist eye. In other words, I am not crying over my pitiful condition. Others are crying, hi, hi. I wish this person changes his life. I wish he comes into the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I wish he abandons sins. But I myself, I'm not showing regret and remorse. I'm not shedding a tear, a repentant tear. I'm not changing my life. So he says, on that I'm crying that I don't even have a tearful eye. This dreadful disease leads to such disgrace that perhaps even the angels begin to weep. The sky and the earth weep. But when man's heart becomes hard, he forgets how to even cry. His tears become dry. Therefore, you should use your courage to abstain from sin, then make dua for being able to use this courage and ask the awliya to supplicate for courage. How much of courage? How much of courage should one need to abstain from sins? He says, I will conclude by explaining this. Imagine a handsome boy, a pretty girl standing with their father, who is a police officer, has a pistol, has a gun with him, and he is watching. And he recognizes all those people who are going to cast an evil glance at either his son or his daughter. He tells the person, I hear that you became mad with love. You lose your senses due to looking at attractive people. You are afflicted with this malady for 50 years. You tell your spiritual mentor, your sheikh and your friends also that you lose your senses when you see an attractive face. You become helpless in staring at the person. You forget the lecture regarding safeguarding the gaze. You forget the khanka and the sheikh. I've heard that you are champion and hero of the romantic world. Today I have a pistol in my hand. My son and daughter are here. They're very attractive. Show me how you stare at them. At this occasion, what will this person do? Will he stare? Because of the fear of the pistol, he will quietly slip away from the using all his courage to curb his desire to stay. If there is a line which tells you that the queen has arrived, do not look at her, otherwise I will tear you apart. You will cover your eyes with your hands and tell the lion not to have any doubts about your intention, as you are not looking at all. Or if there is a bloodthirsty murderer who has a son or daughter, will you stare at them? You most certainly would not look at them out of fear of him killing you. Remember, Allah Ta'ala is watching you and you should use your courage just as you would when you fear for your life. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Whatever you do in this world, thinking that you are hiding from people and the people of the world are unaware of what wrong you are doing, know very well that someone is looking at you from the sky. Use the same amount of courage you would when there is a danger to your own life. Now this is the khulasa, and this is a very, very, very important recipe to gain taqwa and to abstain from sin. Most of us experience these type of things. You see, we don't have that himmat. We just can't get over it. We're just getting pulled by shaitan. So this is the recipe. This is the remedy. This is the ilaj. Use the same amount of courage you would when there is a danger to your life. A person is standing with a pistol, as we said, and telling you that if you look at his daughter or son, and he will kill you, what amount of courage will you then have then? Fear Allah. More than that, who is a police officer or murderer? What is his pistol? His aim could be off target. He might shoot, he might not get you. But Allah's aim is never off target. May Allah Ta'ala save us from his azab. Think of the value of Iman and the value of Allah's greatness. Policeman's pistol can only take away your life. We protect our gazes in fear of people. Remember that Allah Ta'ala is watching our eyes. Our gaze is falling in the wrong place, and He is watching our gaze. Is there any limit to this shamelessness? Allah Ta'ala is watching our eyes all the time. While our eyes are focused on some girl or boy, in this gaze, is this gaze shameless or not? By Allah, if Allah Ta'ala had not been graceful to us, none of us would have remained alive. The earth would have been sunken in, and we would have sunken into the ground. It is only due to Allah's grace and mercy that we are alive and we have the ability to repent due to our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the friends of Allah. The taste of having a connection with Allah ta'ala. No taste can match the joy experience when one sacrifices every breath of his for Allah's sake and one does not displease Allah in the least. No taste can match the joy experienced when one sacrifices every breath of his for Allah's sake and one does not displease Allah in the least. The entire world cannot understand this joy. To sacrifice every breath for Allah's pleasure and not to displease Him for even one breath. This is the status of the Siddiqeen. It is no achievement to just become a Waliullah in the corner of the masjid, person made dhikr, tasbih. But real achievement is when a person actually becomes a wali of Allah amidst attractive faces and he still does not look at those pretty women and he lowers his gaze and he gains the taqwa for the sake of Allah. That's a real achievement. Both are friends of Allah definitely. Well, what Hazrat is explaining that you really get that enjoyment of your taqwa and your connection with Allah when you are faced with all these type of challenges and all these things are attracting you and pulling you towards the evilness, and despite all that, you still cast, you still lower your gaze, you remove yourself or you move away from all these sins, then you gain the taqwa. That is a different type of enjoyment that you will get. The joy of living is enjoyed by one who pleases Allah Ta'ala. We think in this world, everything is so difficult, there's no happiness, there's no bliss. No, the friends of Allah, they enjoy a very blissful life in this world as well. They enjoy their lives. The joy of living is enjoyed by who? The one who pleases Allah. If you please Allah, Allah will give you enjoyment in this world as well. Allah will keep him happy. The amount he pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it says, I have seen people in this world who eat very good food, biryani, have big bank balances, but in the night because of some pain, they are screaming and shrieking. They have all the bank balances. They're eating kebab and biryani whole day. And they've got all the treasures a person can even imagine. But still, nothing can remove the pain the person is suffering. He said, I asked my sheikh in Aligarh why a nobleman was screaming when he was a nawab. Nawab was a very wealthy person. Hazrat replied that he was experiencing pain in his kidneys. So Hazrat says, where are all those kebabs that he was eating? Where is the biryani? Where are those piles of notes that he had? Nothing could help him. Therefore I say that if a person has intelligence, he should please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though you may not have so much of richness in this world, person may be even poor, but he has a ta'alluq with Allah, in this, but a connection with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please him in this world. Reformation without concern. And if a person has become an international donkey and monkey, as the children always say, in other words, he has lost all his senses, he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's such a foolish person that no one is responsible for him. The spiritual mentor, the sheikh also cannot do anything. All the spiritual mentors of the world cannot save a person from the wrath of Allah. If he does not have any concern about himself, about his islah, and he does not use his courage. If he sits down and becomes a coward, and he's overpowered by his nafs, then the khanka also cannot transform him into a wali. This is the path of men. You have to be a true, if you be a man in the true sense of the word. Allah says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, referring to Sahaba, they were such men of Allah, whom business and trade do not distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, become a man. Of course, the woman, when you say become a man, doesn't mean that you person goes through some procedure. It means that you must muster up that courage. Muster up the courage. Don't become a coward. Become a man and then tread the path of Allah. You have a lot of courage in worldly matters. For the sake of sin, you run around day and night. People run around in the burning hot wind of summer. A person told me that he went to see a woman dancing 10 miles away in the heat of June in Karachi on his bicycle when the hot wind was blowing. Why? For the sake of sin, you make so much of effort that even the hot summer wind is at its peak. You still go, you can still go and see a lady dancing. Then how much effort must you then make to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of us, we are in the same boat. Allah forgive us. For gunas, we will make all the qurbani, all the sacrifices. Despite all the discomfort and challenges we have, we will still undertake the journey just to fulfill our desires. For one cricket match and one soccer match, what will we not do? What sacrifices don't we make? For one August race, how much of sacrifices people will make? Compare that to going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will that keep Argus or whatever race people go for, whatever matches and all? Let's be honest. Will you be getting sawab for all those things? Run those marathons, are you getting sawab for it? Not a single sawab a person will get. And the same thing, apply your energy and go out in the path of Allah and see how much sawab you get. So we cannot play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will appease ourselves. And we will continue, as it says, don't be cowards. It's a bit stern, but this is the reality. If you want a remedy, then this is what we have to adopt. This is the ilaj, this is the remedy. That we have to gain and muster up the courage, and we have to now proceed and become a man in the true sense of the word. Create the love of Allah. This is what is lacking in us. We don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we should be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create the love of Allah and then see what happens. He is the creator of the beauty of all the beautiful women of the world. Have love for the creator and see what joy and ecstasy He provides for you. He places the enjoyment of all the women of the world in your heart. How many people have become insane with these women? But the love of Allah never becomes insane. No wali of Allah has lost his mind and became insane. In fact, he grants intelligence to these people who are mad in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man's greatest enemy, his dear friends, the summary of the talk that you have heard is that you should not leave Allah ta'ala. It is a path of great loss. A person leaves the path towards Allah, then he has suffered a great loss. Do not obey your enemy, that is the nafs. You still do not recognize the enemy that has cast you into problems time and again. Then you claim to be a lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you don't realize that your greatest enemy is the nafs. So when you haven't realized that nafs is your enemy, and you should not be obeying nafs, then how can you claim that you love Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is two verses to ponder over. Meditate over these verses. Whenever you are inclined to any attractive person or to any haram, then recite this verse or ponder over this verse. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. He will have a bitter life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all your haram pleasures bitter. all those pleasures which are haram, illicit, Allah will make it bitter. What are you looking at there? Can a person obtain sweetness if Allah has made his life bitter? Look at the one who is announcing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, his glance will be turned away. If you are disturbed by thoughts of staring at women on the streets, then immediately say, Amantu billahi wa rusulih. Amantu billahi, I believe in Allah wa rusulih and all his messengers. This is a very effective way of removing all temptations. Amantu billahi wa rusulih. Anything haram is tempting you, say Amantu billahi wa rusulih. And meditate over the other verse, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will most definitely grant you a wholesome life. Who? The person who has iman, does righteous deeds, he has gained taqwa, Allah says, will give him a wholesome life. O foolish nafs, if you want enjoyment only, then recite tasbih and do good actions. You will obtain the promise of this verse, namely a wholesome life. حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. But if you obey the commands of your nafs, then the sword of a bitter life will hang over you. This is Allah's announcement. Look what kind of sword it is. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. He'll have a bitter life, a very narrow life, a constrained life. You try and entrap my slaves with all kinds of tricks and plans by giving them soft drinks and samosas. We know how to light the fire of our anger to all these treacherous plans. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, just ponder over these two verses. O person, when he is attracted, he must say, Amantu billahi wa rusuli. I believe in Allah and all his messengers. And then meditate over the verse that if you stay away from all that, Allah will give you a happy life. And that is what we are all aspiring for. Hayatan tayyiba, in one Jumu'ah not long ago, I explained all the different meanings of hayatan tayyiba. Person gets sustenance, he gets peace of mind, he gets tranquility, serenity, he gets a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear friends, supplicate to Allah to make your internal self much better than your external self. Allahumma ja'al sarirati khayran min alaniyati. Today the whole focus is on our outward appearance, especially the woman folk. And they will keep on applying all the different type of creams and perfumes and lotions and whatnot. So they will preen themselves before the mirror. Why? I must appear good to everybody else. So that's the whole focus. And internal self, nobody is bothered about it. This dua, O Allah, make my internal self better than my outer form. Not to say the outer form must look bad, no. But make my internal better. Outward form is good, but make my internal better than that. So a person applies so much of perfumes and cosmetics and creams and lotions to make the outer better. Imagine what effort you have to make the inside better. That lotion of dhikrullah, that cosmetics, the real perfume of the love of Allah Ta'ala you would apply. So how much more effort a person has to make? Hazrat says, I take an oath in Allah's name that the joy experienced in the love of Allah cannot be found anywhere. Now these people experience that enjoyment of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore when they used to give bayans, just when they used to take the name Allah, the people, the audience would already get affected. May Allah ta'ala make us like those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat said, I take an oath in Allah's name that the joy experienced in the love of Allah cannot be found anywhere. It is not to be found in the crown of kings, nor in the delicious foods of the world. Neither is it found in the romantic world of actresses. They fornicate night and day. There's no peace in their lives. They take Valium 5, sleeping pills, and try to sleep. I told the people of South Africa, as I said, give this bayan in Karachi, in the month of Ramadan. It was after Taraweeh. He says, I tell the people of South Africa, they should not look at anyone's wife, otherwise they will have to take Valium 5. You have to take sleeping pills. If you look at somebody else's wife, then you will not be able to have a peaceful sleep at night. Why? Now your mind is a chakkar. You are looking, thinking of that woman, the other person's wife, who you are looking at and staring at, and with who you have developed a relationship with now. Allah Ta'ala save us. So if you take Valium 5, it's a sleep-inducing pill. It says, and when Valium 5 fails, you take Valium 10. Then you will go insane, and you enter the asylum like a donkey. Allah Ta'ala protect us. He has concluded, he says, is a dua, a necessary condition for attaining the love of Allah Ta'ala. Dua. Dua is a necessary condition for attaining the love of Allah Ta'ala. One of the necessary conditions for attaining the love of Allah Ta'ala, which many people are neglectful about, is dua, supplicating Allah Ta'ala from the depths of the heart. We know to ask Allah Ta'ala for worldly needs, but only the special servants of Allah Ta'ala ask Allah Ta'ala in the dua for His love. Let's be honest. When we make dua, did we ever ask, Ya Allah, give me your muhabbat? What is the ijtimai dua we make, but on our own? Wallah, give me your true muhabbat. Do we make this dua? Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallam, masnoon dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the most love for Allah ta'ala, he himself will say, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. Wallah, I'm asking you for your love. This riwayat in Tirmidhi Sharif. Wallah, I'm asking you for your love. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi used to say, should cry and say, koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangata hai, ilahi mein tujhse talabgar tera. Some are asking for something, and some are asking for something else. So koi tujhse, some person, from Allah, koi tujhse kuch, somebody is asking something, he wants a car, he wants some house, koi kuch mangta hai, somebody wants some business, some property. He says, ilahi, oh Allah, may I, tujhse, from you, talabgar tera. I'm asking you to grant me yourself. I want your muhabbat. Yalla, you become mine. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah used to say. The method of supplicating Allah Ta'ala in this special manner, however, should be learned from those who have a special connection with Allah Ta'ala. And listen to the du'as of our mashayikh, our elders, the buzughani deen, what du'a they would make. Sahaba-i-kiram, look at the du'as when they would make tawaf, what du'a they would ask Allah Ta'ala. How they would repent, learn from the du'as of our elders. What type of du'as they made for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this, there are a couple of heart-rending du'as of Hazrat Wala rahmatullahi alayhi. One of the du'as is, oh Allah, entrench this firm intention within our heart. We always see, we don't know Arabic, we don't know Urdu. So, in English, oh Allah, entrench this firm intention within our hearts, that we will no longer displease you. Wallah, entrench this firm niyat intention within our hearts, that we will no longer displease you. We will put our lives on the line in order to please you. We will not allow even a single form of haram pleasure to sway us away from you. Oh Allah, since we are sacrificing our very lives for you, instill your love in our heart and soul, whereby every single thing in the entire world becomes meaningless and valueless in comparison to you. Allah, grant us the ability to obey you. Grant us your perfect love, whereby we do not displease you for even a single moment of our lives. Allah, let us not sacrifice ourselves and die over that which has no value in your eyes. Allah, if we do happen to sin, then grant us the ability to turn to you in repentance. Allah, if we do happen to sin, then grant us the ability to turn to you in repentance, because there is no Allah besides you to whom we can turn to. How beautifully Hazrat is mentioned. Oh Allah, we slip, we fall, we commit a sin, we are human beings. So give us the ability then to turn to you and make tawbah. Because there is no other Allah we can turn to. And therefore, oh Allah, we coming to you. And I did the hadith this morning in the class with the students, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person commits a sin. He says, Aznaba Abdi Dhamban. A servant commits a sin, and then he realizes, فَعَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ ذَنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِذَنْبِ. And he knows that I've got an Allah who can punish me because of the sin, or he can even forgive me. And he raised his hand and he said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, you forgive me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person, after making this dua, oh Allah, I have committed a sin, forgive me. ثُمَّ عَادَ, he goes back, فَأَذْنَبَ, he commits the sin again. After making tawbah, he made the sin again. And again he says, Allah, forgive me. Second time also he commits sin, but sincerely he makes tawbah. Because the hadith says, Allah says, he knows very well that he's got such an Allah who will either punish him for the sin or he can even forgive him. So he makes dua, oh Allah, forgive me. And the third time he commits sin again. And again he makes sincere tawbah. Allah says, oh my servant, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. Now this does not mean that we must deliberately go and commit sins. After making that firm pledge to Allah Ta'ala, first of all, we feel that nadamat, that regret, that remorse, I went and committed the sin. What an evil act I went and did. How could I do such a filthy thing? And then you abandon that sin. You move away from there. And now you promise Allah, I will never go back to the sin. These are the three things. After making such a sincere tawbah, you cried, you were genuine, you were sincere. You tried for some time not to go back to the sin. And suddenly after some time, you became overpowered. Overwhelmed. You don't know what happened. You were caught up in that environment and you slipped and you committed the sin again. It doesn't mean now, oh, now Allah is not going to forgive you. Go back to Allah. You see, there's a quality of Allah, At-Tawwab. For human beings, we say, Taba Yatubu Tawba, means we must turn to Allah. We must return to Allah. We must repent. And for Allah, Allah is At-Tawwab, means He is oft forgiving. He doesn't just forgive you once. He forgives you again and again and again. Each time you sin, you turn to Allah. Allah gets so happy, Allah forgives you. But you must be sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, you committed sin, I forgive you, committed sin again, now I will punish you. Or the very first time you committed a sin, and immediately Allah punishes you, doesn't give you a chance. No, Allah gives us chances and opportunities to make amends. Allah doesn't want us to deliberately commit sin. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, Hazrat Arif Billah Hakim Sahib used to say, Rahmatullah, that if a person wants to just try out a new bomb that has come out in the market, just to see whether it works or not, he'll be foolish now to go put his finger in the fire, get burnt just to test his new bomb. You only apply a bomb when you get burnt. You don't go try and apply the bomb just because now you want to see what it looks like. So a person doesn't go deliberately commit sin just because he wants to see the bomb of tawbah. No. You make tawbah when you get burnt with sins. It's an emergency escape or exit. Nobody living on the 200th floor in a huge skyscraper uses the staircase every time he comes up and down. He uses the elevator. When he will use the fire escape, it is an emergency. So every time you should be having a life of taqwa. You slip, you make a sin, then you use the exit of tawbah. But Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving. Allah waits for us to turn to Him and repent. And this whole explanation in this course was the rewards of piety. What sawab will I get if I gain taqwa? 10 rewards were mentioned. And Hazrat has given us a lot of hope that you must muster courage. You must ask Allah to give you the ability to use the courage and ask the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua on your behalf. And do not become like a coward and say, no, I'm so weak. Normally, it's very common. After we just don't want to give up that sin, and we don't muster the true courage, what do we say? We think this is an escape route. And we say, no, I'm so weak, what can I do? I'm not a buzruk like you all. That's the wrong attitude that we have. All of us have the ability Allah has given us to have himmat and refrain from sin. So let us not be cowards. Allah give me the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq. We are human beings, we slip, we make errors. But again, come back onto this path. If you decide not to come back onto this path, then this is such a great loss. You lost dunya and akhirat. You come onto the path of Allah Ta'ala, you'll make sins, you'll commit sins, but you make tawbah sincerely. You continue like this. Allah will give you taqwa and you'll get a hayatan tayyiba. You get that peaceful life of serenity, bliss, happiness, ease and comfort. May Allah Ta'ala give us all of a tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah grant us the true taqwa and the rewards of piety. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.